We begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Samach Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Samach Gimel Beis, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues a related discussion regarding ascertaining what's a kosher, what's not kosher. So now the Gemara segues into regarding the eggs. We're talking about the kosher birds, now we're talking about regarding the eggs of the birds. So try to bring one in the Braisa. Loichin Beyim in the Evikichav in B'chal Makim. In any place, a person is permitted to purchase eggs from non-Jews. We're not concerned that maybe this egg was actually found in a chicken that was already dead, which is nevela, which is forbidden to eat. We're not concerned that maybe it was a bird that was a trefa, and thus its eggs are also going to be forbidden, because that's not so common. Therefore, we're going to assume that it's from a regular bird, which is kosher. Now, that the Gemara asks, fine, that's if it's a kosher bird. So we're not concerned if it's from the egg from a nevela or a trefa. But v'dilma da'iv tamininu, maybe it's the egg from a non-kosher bird. How can you just buy eggs from a non-Jew? So Amavu de Shmuel, the father Shmuel said, no, ba'im rishal oiv plain yitarts, where the non-Jew says, it's the eggs of a kosher bird, let's say from a chicken. Now, moreover, we know that bird, that it's kosher, and it's something that we could ascertain and define, and we could bring those eggs from that bird, and we could see if it's similar to these eggs, and therefore he's not going to lie, and therefore we could buy the eggs from the non-Jew. However, ask the Gemara, why did the father Shmuel have to say that it's from the eggs of that kosher bird? Why can't he just say it's from a kosher bird? Why does he have to say which one? Says the Gemara, no, because if that would be the case, then he could get out of it, and he could say, when we say, hey, this doesn't look like one, and you're going to bring an egg, he'll say, no, I meant a different kosher bird that you don't recognize, and it is kosher, and we're not going to be able to ascertain, then he's going to be able to lie, and well, he's going to say, it's a different kosher bird. But if he says, which one, we could say, and we bring, hey, let's bring the eggs, they don't match, he's going to get caught in lie, so therefore he won't lie. Therefore he has to define clearly which kosher bird, and if he says, these are the eggs of a chicken, for example, we could buy the eggs from him and no problem. However, ask the Gemara, why does it have to be because he's saying which bird it is, and we could ascertain it, we could figure it out. What do we even need him for? V'livdik b'simanim. Why don't we just investigate the actual signs of a kosher egg? The time, like Linda Bryce said, there are certain definitive signs. We don't even need to believe the non-Jew. Just check the eggs. We learned in the Bryce that says kisimani bayim, like the signs of an egg. Kach simanim dogim. That's the same signs to figure out regarding kosher fish. Now that the Gemara asks, simanim dogim soka daitich. The Gemara asks on that Bryce, can you really entertain to say that the signs of a kosher egg are the same signs in kosher fish? But snapir v'kaskesis am rachman. The eggs don't have what it says that in the Torah, what's a kosher fish, which have to have scales and fins. So what do you mean they have the same signs? Elay Mereda says the Gemara, well, no, what the Braisa is saying is, kach simani sotu are the signs as a ketin tab of samach dal manav, ubre dogim, which are called the roe, which is R-O-E, which is the eggs of fish, when they're connected together, they actually have, how do you know if that's eggs from a kosher fish? It's not, doesn't have scales and fins on it. And how would we know that it's from a kosher fish? That's the same thing as the eggs of kosher birds. They actually have the same appearance. And what is that? But Tani Gabi Beim, like we learned regarding the eggs, Elu Hein Simone Beim, what are the signs of a kosher egg? It's Kol Shekhi Deris. It's if it's has that the width of a circle, the agulgulgulis, and it is round like a circle, which it's really one and the same. It's just that had we only said agulgulis, which is round, so we would have thought to say any type of round, even like a lentil or like a wheel of cheese, which therefore we have to say kaideris, which is to tell us that it has to be round like a kadur, like a ball, which is not narrow on any one of its of the sphere. Rather, it's a thick circle. Now, moreover, qualifies the brisa, but it's not a perfectly round circle. Rather, reisha echad kad, one edge of the egg, one end is round, which is not pointy. Rather, it's round like a ball. The reisha echad kad, but one end is pointy, which is not literally like a ball. Rather, again, one end is pointy and one end is round, like we have by our eggs of a chicken. Well, that's a sign of a kosher egg. Whereas Beis Rasheh Kadnev, let's say both ends are round, or Beis Rasheh Chadnev, both ends are pointy, then Tamein, that's the sign of a non-kosher egg. Now, moreover, chelboin, which is the albumin, which is the white part of the egg, if that's mibachut, if that's on the outside, the chelboin and the yolk, which we have by the eggs, is the yellow, by the chickens, mibifnim, on the inside, well, that's tahira, like we have by our classic egg of a chicken, that's kosher egg, that's a kosher egg, meaning because it's from a kosher bird. But if the yolk is on the outside and the white part, the albumin, is on the inside, then to me that's a non-kosher bird. Now, if it's chelmin v'chelbin muravin zebezeh, let's say it's not one on the outside, one on the inside, but actually the yolk and the white part are actually mixed together in the egg, well, b'yaduashibeyas hasheretz, then you could ascertain, you could know, that's actually the egg of a sheret. Like, for example, of a toad and a lizard who they lay eggs, then you could know it's not even from a bird, it's actually from a sheret, which later in the Gemara is going to ask, what's the significance of saying it's the egg of a sheret? Just say that it's tamei, it's non-kosher. What would be the significance of saying, not that it's like when you have the yolk on the outside, that it's not kosher, who cares that it's sheretz? It's also not kosher, you can't eat it. What's the significance? The Gemara is going to address them. But one thing is, the Gemara's question is, that you see that there are signs in the egg itself. So why is Avud Shmuel saying, what's halacha that we're learning regarding that you could buy eggs from a non-Jew? Because he could tell you exactly it's from that kosher bird and you could ascertain it. Who cares? You don't have to compare the egg. Open up the egg. You could see what the egg looks like or look at the shape of it. That you could know. Why do you have to rely on the non-Jew? Says Gemara, lo yitzricha, no, it's necessary in the case of the chatuches, where the egg is cut up. So you can't figure it out anymore from the shape of it, how it is round or pointy or not, because it's already cut up. So that's why you have to rely on the non-Jew. But on that is the Gemara, but v'livdik b'chelmin v'chelmin. Okay, who cares that it's cut up, so you can't figure out regarding the shape, but even if it's cut up, look at even that cut up slice. Is the white on the outside or is it on the inside? That itself could tell us if the white's on the outside and the yellow, the yolk is on the inside, that means it's kosher. Says the Gemara, no, it's betrufis b'ka'aro. We're talking about where it's actually, the egg is beaten up in a bowl where it's all mixed together. Now you can't tell what it originally was. Now you can't figure out the shape, and now you can't figure out the chelbin and the chelmin, and therefore you can't use the simon and bayim, and that's why you have to rely on the non-Jew. But on that is the Gemara, is that the case when we rely on the non-Jew? But a kahai gavna mizam nim, and now in that type of situation, can you really buy a beaten up egg from a non-Jew, which is the case you're saying that we rely on them? But the Tanya in the Brisa that says, we don't sell the egg of a chicken that's trefa from a bird that's trefa, that means it has a mortal defect that the chicken itself is not kosher. We don't sell the egg of that chicken, which is also not kosher, to a non-Jew, because it looks like a regular egg, and maybe he's going to go ahead and sell that egg to a Jew, which would be selling trefas to a Jew. So if we don't sell it to the non-Jew, they might sell it to the Jew. Elim kein trufa bika'ara, unless it's first beaten in a bowl, where now a Jew is not going to buy that anymore from the non-Jew. And lefikach, therefore, since it's permitted to go ahead and sell a beaten up egg to a non-Jew in the bowl, that's why ein loikchem mehem beim truvas bekara. That's why we don't go ahead and we don't buy beaten up eggs from the non-Jew in the plate, because maybe that egg was a trefa, and that's the type of egg that a Jew could sell. But one thing we see is that you're not allowed to buy such an egg from the non-Jew, because that might actually be the trefa egg that the Jew sold to the non-Jew, who could only sell it once it's beaten up, because then that's what a Jew is not going to buy, and that's what a Jew can't buy. But one thing is, you see that when it's beaten up, you can't buy from the non-Jew. How can you say that's the case? That's the one case that you figured out that you can't figure out any simanim, and that you'd be relying on the non-Jew when you can't buy such an egg from non-Jew. So Elam Reb Zeir, rather, he says, you're right. How do we answer the question then, if that's not the case, and when you're buying for the non-Jew, because you can't buy such a case, so it must be before it's beaten up, but then they already ask simanim, then why do you have to rely on the non-Jew? So Zeir says that simanim, these signs that we said that you could ascertain in the egg if it's kosher or not, lav dei raisa, they're not biblical, they're not halacha meisha mesina, we don't rely on that to define if it's kosher egg or not. And he proves this, because the Eloi Temahach, if you don't say this, then Hodom Ravasi, this is what Ravasi said in the previous daf. Shmoyin Nesveikis, there are eight types of birds that we have doubt regarding them, if they're kosher or not, as we said in the previous sugya, because we can't tell if it has the sign of a kosher bird or not, because there was a certain doubt. On that, the question is, but livdig bebeim didu. What do you mean? So you're not sure about the bird, you don't know how to ascertain, is that the qualification or not? Check the eggs. From the eggs, you can recognize if it's a kosher bird or not. Because you said, what is a kosher egg? Which is obviously meaning from a kosher bird. And figure it out that way. Because rather obviously that because the signs are not biblical, it's not going to help us to make the birds to say if it's kosher on a biblical level or not. Now that has to come out. Elamai hilchas akatani law. So, of what halachic relevancy did we say that these are the signs in the kosher egg? If you tell me we can't use that to go ahead and validate the egg and the bird if it's kosher or not. Says the Gemara, Hachakam, this is what utility of it was. Bez Rishay Kadin, Oy Bez Rishay Kadin, if the eggs, two edges, are either round or both of them are pointy, Oy Chelman Mibachutz Vechelman Mibifnim, or if the yolk is on the outside and the white part is on the inside, Vade Temeya, what it does for us is at least it provides a stringency for us, and it says that most definitely, even if the non-Jew is saying, oh, this egg is from a chicken, this is from a kosher bird, most definitely, he's lying, because look at the egg. It's definitely telling us that it's not kosher. Now, however, what the halacha was telling us is, if reisha chad chad, if one end is pointy, and reisha chad chad, and one end is round, and so too, v'chelbon mibachutz, v'chelma mibifnim, the white is on the outside and the yolk is on the inside, which that was what we said the sign is of a kosher egg, which we said we don't rely on to say something is kosher, but v'amalach shalayv plain ibitarhu, but the knowledge is also telling you that this is a kosher bird, and therefore it's okay. Samech and the Gir says, alei, that you could rely on him, meaning it supports him, these signs for the non-Jew, for what he's claiming, if he tells you this is that bird which is kosher, you could rely on him because these signs are supporting him. And if not, then don't rely on him. So this actually is actually supporting the halacha that we said before, that there you could buy the egg from non-Jew and rely on him when he says from a kosher bird, if Yedosa has these simanim. But you can't rely on the simanim itself, and neither could you rely on the non-Jew himself, as the Gemara concludes, because Bistama, if he just says that it's from a kosher bird, loy tismach, and the Gersa is also taking out the end of him, loy tismach, they don't rely on him. Why? Because the urva, the dami lidiyena, because the eggs of the raven are similar to that of the pigeon, and therefore you wouldn't be able to go ahead and prove it from the eggs itself, because it could be similar. Rather, only if the signs are the same, and he's saying it's kosher, then you could go ahead and rely on him. That was actually the conclusion of that sugya, is actually the two of them together. We don't rely just on the simanim, we don't rely just on the non-Jew. When you have both, then they seem to be supporting the contention that he's saying that it's from a kosher bird. Now, Amamar, as we had alluded to earlier, the Tanya the Braisa said, Chelbin v'chelman mu'ravin zebezet, if both the white and the yellow are mixed together, then you can know that, not that it's a kosher or non-kosher bird, it's not even from a bird, it's actually the egg of a sheretz, of the creepy, crawly creatures. Now, l'may helchasim, for what halachic relevancy is that? Just say it's not kosher. So on that, in my book of Abachama, he says, Lame is coming to tell you, she'im rikma, that if there's an embryo that was formed inside the sheretz, v'nikfa, and that if the shell was punctured, where now you could technically touch the embryo itself, and the Gersia switches around the words, bekadosha mitame, or mitame bekadosha, that it's going to transmit tumah the size of a lentil, which is a unique halacha by Thomas Shratzim. And moreover, the halacha of this tumah would only be regarding that of Shratzim, and therefore that's why it's significant to say that if you find out that the yolk and the albumin are mixed together, that it's a sheretz, that it will have the stringency of being matame b'kadosha, that's the relevancy of being it as a sheretz. Now, maskev l'ravina, but whoever he asked on this halacha, he says, v'dima d'nachashi. But how do you know if they're mixed together that it's from a sheretz? Maybe it's the egg of a snake, and this egg of a snake is similar to that of a sheretz, and there it does not have the tumah of shiratzim. So therefore, how can you say it would be matame b'kadosha if it has the mixing of the albumin and the yolk, when it's not necessarily the case? So Elam Rav rather says it's actually a different halacha that the Brice is telling us. Sheim rikma v'achla, if it developed an embryo and then someone ate that egg, loika la mishum sheretz asheretz ala oritza, that it gets lashes for having consumed the types of asheretzim that crawl on the ground. Meaning, and the significance of that is because if the Tana Braisa would not have told us that it's the egg of a sheretz, rather would have just said that Temeya, as the Gemara's question was, it's not kosher. So we would have thought to say, what not kosher, as eggs classically are, of birds. That's why it's forbidden. But then you would have to give hasra. If you want the person to get lashes, you would have to give him a warning beforehand that he's eating the sheretz ha'ayv. And if he would get the hasra of sheretz ha'aretz, he wouldn't get lashes. That's what's saying, that no, actually, it's only that you would have to give him hasra on sheretz ha'aretz, because actually that of a sheretz and not that of a non-kosher person. And that has to give up. If that's the case that we're coming to teach, so the ma'ir ditmeya, then why do you have to tell it by a non-kosher embryo, meaning of an egg? I feel the tarinami. What do you mean? Even of a kosher bird, you're still going to have the same halacha that it's going to be forbidden to eat. The telling within the brisa. The pasuk says, "Miyikur kol hasheretz hasheretz al ha'aretz." Any creepy crawly creature that crawls on the ground, these are things that are forbidden to be eaten. Continues the Gemara on Amud Beis, L'rabes Efreichim Shalei Niftuchei Neim. What's that inclusionary terminology over there called? It's coming to include even chicks that have not yet opened up their eyes, that haven't hatched, that even there's an Isser to eat it. So what are you saying, the halacha that we have to tell you is that it's that of a sheretz, to say that you're going to be over on the sheretz or sheretz al ha'aretz? What do you mean you're going to have that Isser of getting lashes even if it's that of a chick that's kosher that hasn't opened its eyes? Says the Gemara, no, that's Midir Abanam. This halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is only rabbinic, which said it's forbidden by a kosher bird that has not yet hatched. But v'kras machta ba'alma, and the pasuk that we're bringing here, that as if it's a riboy that we're bringing from the Braise, is just an allusion to that rabbinic law. But regarding non-kosher species, then it's a bona fide sheretz, and there, according to everyone, you're going to get lashes. Now, that's what we're saying, it's only when it was rikmo, when they developed an embryo, because if it's before that, although it's prohibited, but there's not going to be lashes, because then it's not yet, quote, a sheretz, and therefore that, again, was the significance of saying when they're mixed together, the inside and the outside of the egg, unlike the kosher or even non-kosher, that of a bird, is to tell you this halacha that you're going to get biblical lashes for having consumed specifically that of sheretz ha-sheretz al ha-aretz. Now, related discussion regarding the eggs, Tana ben Lunna b'raisa, ge'ulei beitzim, which ge'ulei is like hagala, that which comes out of the eggs, which refers to when one is cooking non-kosher eggs with kosher eggs, and then there's something that gets exuded from the non-kosher eggs, mutaris, the kosher eggs are permitted because that's just water and the non-kosher egg doesn't give any taste into the other eggs. Another halacha, beyum muzaris, unfertilized eggs, which means to say that it wasn't fertilized by a male, and therefore that egg will never develop into a chick. So then nefesh yafa, so someone that's not a delicate person and doesn't get disgusted by things that are not so fine, toichlim, he could eat this egg, even though the chicken has, the hen has sat on this for many days, and nimtola karadam, even if you find a drop of blood in that egg, so zarkas adam v'echel sashar, he could throw away the blood and eat the rest, because it's not an indicator of having developed a chick, and that's the beginning of the fetus, because it's not going to develop into a chick. So it's just some blood, you can throw away the blood and eat the rest of that egg. Now, Amr B'Yirmi, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Bahuve v'husha nimtza, this is only if the blood is found al kesher shola, on its knot, meaning that's the seed of the rooster, which is tied, it's like a knot, at the round part of the egg. And from there is where the formation of the chick starts. Now, since that knot is still over there, in the beginning of the egg, so that means it has not yet spread to the rest of the egg, and therefore you could eat the rest of the egg. And that's halacha that applies in all situations, by whatever the egg is, not specifically, we said, regarding the unfertilized egg. But if it's found, as we're going to shortly see in the Gemara, on the yolk part, then the whole egg is forbidden, because it means to say that that problem has spread throughout the egg. As the Gemara brings that Tani Destoy Avud Rebbe Aptariki, that Destoy, who is the father of Rebbe Aptariki, taught the following brisa. Loishan, we didn't learn this halacha that one could throw away the blood and eat the rest of the egg. Elishanimtza al chel b'inshallah, only if it's on the albumen, on, like we said, on the kesher, which is the knotted part of the wide part of the egg on the outside. So that means it hasn't yet spread. Just throw away the blood, you can eat the rest of the egg. But if it's found on the yolk, then then even the whole egg is forbidden. My time, what's the reason? The shada tichla bakula, as Rashi brings the word tichla, like shin and the tuf are interchangeable. It's like a terminology of shichl, which is like a flaw, like a problem. That problem already spread throughout the rest of the egg, and therefore the whole egg is forbidden. Now, actually, the Gemara says the Amalei of Gavim, a big kusler of Ashi, he said the ipchad toni tana kameda abaya, the teacher of Brises, had taught this halacha exactly the opposite in front of Abaya, that he had said that the validity is only if you find it on the chelmon, on the yoke, only then is it okay. But Abaya, who the Tirtzah Na'alei Hachim, but Abaya had then actually corrected him and said, no, it's actually the opposite. It's only okay if you find it on the white, on the outside. That means it hasn't yet spread, but if it's actually on the yolk, then that's a problem, because that means to say that the thing has already started developing, and therefore the whole egg would be forbidden. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amar Chizki says, "Minayin lebeyas temeya sheyasur benater." Where do we know that a non-kosher egg is biblically forbidden? We know that it says regarding what type of species that the chickens themselves are forbidden. How do you know the egg is also forbidden? So says Chizki, because it says in the pasuk in Vayikra, "Es bas hayana," when it's talking about all the non-kosher birds, and says, "And the daughter of the ostrich." Now, v'chibas yesh l'leyana, does an ostrich have a daughter? It doesn't. It doesn't have children the way humans and animals, certain animals are. Ela Aziz, what are we talking about? The daughter of the ostrich. Zubeya Temeya, this is the egg of the ostrich, means to say the egg of a non-kosher type of species is forbidden, just like the bird itself. On that astigma, but Vidilma Hainer Shemaya, maybe that was its name. Maybe this, the name of the ostrich is Basayana. How do you know it's referring to the egg of the yana, of the ostrich? Says Gemara, Lo Sakadaitach, you can't entertain to say that, because except the pasuk in Eicha that says, Bas Amila Achzer, the daughters of my people have been given over to cruel people, Kayeinim Bamidbar, like the ostriches in the desert. So you see, its name is Yana and not Basayana. So if we find in the pasuk saying that the Basayana is forbidden and it doesn't have a daughter, it must mean the egg of the ostrich, because the egg is the same as the non kosher bird. But that is the Gemara, Veloy? No. But that you tell me that There's no actual type that's called the Basayana, but Vokziv, there's a pasuk of Micha that says Es misbeid katanim. I'm going to make a lamentation, a kina like jackals, the evil kabanis yana, and mourning like the daughters of the yana. Now, if it would be like you wanted to say that no, there's no daughters of the yana, but rather it means the eggs of the yana, but do eggs have a mouth to mourn? So rather, isn't it an indicator that there's actually a type of species that's called the Bas Hayana? Like you see, the Benois Hayana? How are you saying it's referring to the eggs? So the Gemara, no, this pasuk is understood, Ki Ya'ana Zu, like this ostrich, Shemis Abelis Abaneha, which mourns for its children. And the way you have to read the pasuk is, like the mourning which is made on the children of the Yana. So it's not that the evil Benois Hayana, like the mourning of the Benois Hayana. Rather, it's like the mourning on the Benois Yana. But it's not meaning to say like the mourning that it has on its eggs. But you're right, it's not the eggs that's saying anything. But the Gemara continues to ask. But Vaksiv, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'shachnu sham Benois Yana, that there dwell the daughters of the Yana. So you see that there is the something called the Basayana. So the Gemara, no, here also, Kiyana Zu. It's like this ostrich, Sheshechenis in Beneho, that dwells with its sons. Meaning again, there's no type called the Basayana, and you're right, there's no daughters of the Yana. And so what do you mean dwelling over there? Eggs can't dwell over there. You're right, it's referring to the ostrich that dwells with its eggs. But the Gemara continues to ask, but Maksib, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Techabdeni chayes asada, that the wild animals of the field, they honor me. Tanam uvenois yana, the jackals and the venois yana. Now, v'yisal g'day techbe, and if you can entertain to say, as the Gemara has been trying to say up this whole point, that there's no daughters of the Yana. And so we said, obviously, daughters means eggs. But the Gemara has been asking, well, how do you know? Maybe there's a species that's called Basayana. So that the Gemara wants to say, no, there's no type Basayana. It's called Yana. And when it says Benois, it means the eggs of the Yana. But that is the Gemara. But Beya Basme Mashirihi, is an egg have the ability to sing a song to Hashem? If it's eggs, what type of honor could it do to Hashem? Like the pasuk they were saying, Hashem is saying, they will honor me. How could Benois Yana, how could the eggs of the Yana honor Hashem? Al-Reva says the Gemara, you're right. K'siv ha-Yana v'k'siv Basayana, when it's talking about the ostrich, sometimes it's going to say Yana, sometimes it's going to say Basayana. And then we're back to the question. Like we see from these psukim, certain times when it's referring to Benois Yana, obviously if it's singing song, it's not the eggs, and it's the ostrich itself. So what's the proof when it says in the Torah Basayana that it's referring to the eggs of the ostrich? Maybe it's referring to the ostrich itself. That says the Gemara, no, because Vashani Hacha, here it's different. Because the Pasuk Safa L'Shtei Sebes, because the scribe separates the word Basayana into two different words. So obviously it's not one name, and rather it's two different names. If it's two different names, so what's Basayana? If its name was Basayana, they would have had it together in one word. The fact that it's, and you're right, there is such a thing, maybe Benois Yana, Basayana. Here that it's separating it, obviously it's telling us that it's the daughter of the Yana, which has no daughters, it must mean the egg of the Yana. But that is the Gemara, but when the Pasuk Lu Safra, as we continue to have Samachem and Alf, Betarti Tevis, in fact, it describes, splits into two words, Shmam and Atrei Shemis, the Nudau, is an indicator that it's two different names, and therefore it's not one name, and therefore it's the egg of the Yana. But Elmiata, but take the Pasuk in Bereshis that says, Eskadar La'Omer. The Pasuk Lu Safra Betray, that describes, splits it into two parts. You think it's two different names? It's not. We know his name of one of the kings that was Avram Avinu fought against was Kedar La'Omer. It was one name. So what's the proof that it's split into two words? So Amri, they said, no, Hasam B'Shtei Tevis Pasuklu. You're right. There by Kedar La'Omer, it's split into two different words. But B'Shnei Shitin Le'Pasuklu. But it's not going to be split into two different lines. Because really it's one name. But it'll be here. Afel B'Shnei Shitin Nami Pasuklu. Here the scribe could even split it into two lines. We have Bas on one line, and you have Yan on the beginning of the next line. That's a complete indicator that it's two different words. And if it was one name, it would have been in one word. So if it's two different words, must mean it's the daughter of the Yana, which again, the ostrich does not have a daughter, therefore it must mean the egg of the ostrich, and it's telling us that just like the ostrich is forbidden, which all those are cases that are forbidden types of birds, it's telling us that the eggs of ostrich, and so too the eggs of any non-kosher bird, is forbidden biblically just as the bird itself.